Jerry Doyle Show.
Back on the program, Anita Finley, lady author, lady blogger, LadyEpicTimes.com contributor, lady author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, self-avowed feminist, former Democrat, now independent, and as I like to refer to, an all-around cool chick. Anita, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Jerry. How are you?
I was just taking a page from Haley Barbour. I want everybody to know you're a lady.
I'm a lady.
You're a lady.
I'm a lady blogger. Oh, geez.
You see, that lady mayor was making aspersions about the man governor, Chris Christie, and wow.
Just in case we don't know which sex anybody is and we need
right,
to clarify for
and us. See, and it's like the designations of D and R. You know, if we drop the D's and the R's when people go on TV and you listen to somebody say something or you read something that somebody said and they don't say if it's a Democrat or a Republican, I think you view it differently. Because a lot of times people will read it and go, wow, that makes a lot of... Hold on, that's a Democrat. I can't agree with that Democrat because I'm a Republican and vice versa.
Right.
And the labels divide us.
Well, but that's what politicians count on, to fill their coffers. They fill your fears to fill their coffers. That's how it works. And, you know, whatever the particular TV station, whatever their bent is, they want to make sure that you know. It's very interesting, however, that sometimes if there's something negative about a politician they like, that they will neglect to mention what party they're from.
As they did today in the Wall Street Journal with regard to ex-Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell and his wife Maureen for accepting luxurious gifts, vacations, the use of a private jet, and large loans from the chief executive officer of Virginia business that they went to bat for. Wall Street Journal is owned by News Corp. News Corp owns Fox News. Fox News cheerleads for who? The Republicans. Now, if you go to CNN and MSNBC, they'll say that he was a Republican, once a rising star in the Republican Party and considered presidential material. If it was a Democrat governor of Virginia that was brought up on this, the Wall Street Journal would say, once a rising star in the Democrat Party and considered presidential material, MSNBC would leave out the fact that he was a Democrat.
Probably. I think you're right about that.
Absolutely. Hey, can you answer a question? I know you can because you're a very smart woman. I get emails from time to time when you're on the program that say that you're a shill for Hillary Clinton. And I have my answer to them, but can I get yours to them so that they hear it from you and not from me?
I'm not going to say that I have not been a supporter of hers in the past, and if she runs again, I would have to strongly consider supporting her again, but I'm not here to shill for her. I've said to you in the past, you know, I typically give you both sides, and if somebody doesn't want to vote for her, they don't have to. I don't think I have the power to convince one person of anything. And that's
yes.
Really not my desire. You know, the thing that people confuse about me, so I like having this opportunity to clarify, Hillary Clinton is often a lightning rod because she is, you know, one of the most famous women on earth. And even though she has not even declared yet, has talked about running into people talk about her running in 2016 as if it's a fait accompli. She was on the receiving end of so much sexism in 2008, as Sarah Palin was, as any woman is who dares to reach as high as they did. And Hillary Clinton has been on the receiving end of a lot of this disgusting treatment for some 20 years. I wrote a book on the subject, you know, and I wrote it not because of her per se, but because this was a case study. And even though it's very well sourced, Dirty Words on Clean Skin reads like a memoir, because I wanted people to understand the shock and disgust I felt, not only at my own party and one of the reasons I became an independent, but to understand that this is the kind of crap that goes on both sides and that it is holding us back as a society. The reason I talk about Hillary, or you will, you know, people discuss me or talk about me as sort of an expert on her because I've done so much research, she's a great case in point. So I use her as an example because she's on the receiving end of this a lot of the time. But in terms of shilling for her, no, that's really not my desire.
Right. And that's what I tell people when I email them back. And I just wanted them to hear it from you, because you would, if you had to say, like in your prioritization of how people would label you, if we have to use labels, would you say, outside of being just a very cool person, very smart, very well read, very well researched, non-polarizing, non-toxic, if we were going to label beyond that, would you say that feminist, political independent, if we did have to label you, somebody said, Anita Finley, how do you want your label to read? What would it be?
I think that's fair. You know, the only problem with the word feminist is, like, yes, I am one, but it's so unfortunate, Jerry, that the word itself has such negative connotations. And really,
yeah,
that only refers to equality of the sexes and equal representation under the law, and that, you know, if you're getting the same job, you should get the same pay and have the same benefits in society and have an opportunity for an equal seat at the table, and may the best person win. I mean, that's how I feel about all of that, because, you know, I've been in the workforce for 30-something years since I'm a teenager, and this is how I operate. So I expect to be treated with respect because I've earned it. And I think that, you know, we have to understand that the economic realities make it so that so many women have to be in the workforce, and it's just that to think that they should be treated in any way less than is not only unfair, but it holds us back as a society. So, yeah, you can say I'm a feminist. You can say I'm an independent. I think if somebody wanted to look at my politics, they'd label me a moderate Democrat, but I don't belong to either party.
Right. Neither do I. With regard to the Time magazine cover, I was reading the Huffington Post article by Marianne Schnall about the reaction to the Time cover on Hillary Clinton's possible presidential run titled "Can Anyone Stop Hillary?" And they have the pantsuited leg depicting ominously dragging a helpless tiny man like some giant Godzilla monster with the tagline "How to scare off your rivals with actually running yet." And she writes that sometimes powerful, ambitious, confident women are portrayed in a negative light as threatening or unlikable.
I think that's very true. And as Sheryl Sandberg also noted, you know, they've done studies on this. The more successful a woman becomes, the less likable she becomes. Whereas a man who is, you know, rising to the top of the food chain doesn't take the same likability hit. And I think as a society, we have to really ask ourselves why that is. Because this depiction, you know, we know that the medium is the message, right, Jerry? There is
right.
Nothing by accident. And what's interesting about this, and this is the reason I love to write about it. Now, you know, just so people know, this is not about shilling for Hillary. Let's pretend it's not Hillary's name on the cover. Because
right.
All you're seeing is a big foot, you know? So why
right.
don't we pretend it's Susana Martinez, who is a Republican governor who is very popular in the state of New Mexico, as far as I understand. And she, I think, is a viable future presidential candidate. Why not? So
yeah.
I think that any woman who is rising that high, there is some sort of a primal threat to some, not all, but some male psyches, and there is no accident in the way this is depicted. Now, Time magazine is hardly what would be considered a bastion of conservative groupthink.
Right.
And neither is the New York Times. I'd like to call your attention to a picture that was very famous in 2008 at the beginning of the primaries, and it was a picture of Hillary standing on a stage giving a speech, and it was a picture of her shoes. And at the foot of the stage was Bill Clinton looking up at her. So the picture looked like she's almost standing on his head.
Right.
So these are two, one would argue, liberal publications, and they're both showing a negative view of a woman rising to the top. And also, when you use a headline, "How Can Anyone Stop Hillary?" it sets in mind a couple of things. It automatically sets up the narrative. Who can we get to beat her, number one? Number two, it indicates, because you have that tiny little man hanging off her foot, that somebody should. And, you know, it sets you up to think of this in a negative way. And like I said, what if it's Sarah Palin? What if it's Susana Martinez? What if it's Kelly Ayotte? Why does it have to be Hillary?
Yeah.
If somebody really under the impression that they would not get this same kind of abusive treatment, I think they're wrong.
Is it more of a reflection of what people supposedly think about what a powerful woman is all about and how men supposedly suffer as a consequence of the rise of women in corporate boardrooms and in politics? Or is it more of a reflection of men who might be intimidated by a powerful, opinionated, strong, smart woman?
Well, you know something, I think that it can be a bit of both. There is something that I posited in my book, and I think that others have said in the past, is that the powerful woman brings to mind the archetypal mother. And there is still a sense of big bad mommy, and that the last time, and the Huffington Post article talks about this too, that the last time you were under the thumb of a woman is in mommy's house.
Right.
I'm not going to do what mommy says anymore. I'm not going to take out the garbage. I'm not going to clean my room and stamping your foot on the floor. Now, I'm not saying this is by any means universal to all men, because I don't think that's true at all. I know a great many men, yourself included, who are incredibly supportive and gracious and still manage to be powerful people and successful in the world. So you are a walking, talking example that just because a woman is successful, that doesn't take anything away from you.
Right.
People have to be aware of that.
You know, when I learned my mom was a very strong woman, my mom's 4 foot, like now 4'9". She keeps shrinking as she gets older. She's 86 years old. We were living in Brooklyn. My dad had just died. I was 14. I was 12 years old when he died. So this was maybe a year or two later. And I was starting to feel my oats. Like, I was the man of the house. And like, she really couldn't rule over me because I towered over her. And we were sitting at the table in the kitchen. And she was at the counter, at the sink, and she was finishing up making dinner. And I was at the table, and she told me I had to do something after dinner. And I just gave her, like, one of those flippant no's. You know, like, it's not going to happen. You know, you runt. That kind of an interpretation. And she picked up a giant bowl of peas and pearl onions, bowl and all, and threw it across the room. And I ducked, and it hit the concrete wall behind me and took a chip out of the wall and the wallpaper. And I was like, Mom! And she goes, don't ever lip off to me again.
There you go.
And I was like, wow, so peas and pearl onions was when I realized my mom was a strong woman.
Well, she wasn't going to take any guff. I mean, my mother didn't take it either. And you know what? They shouldn't. But I wanted to read you a quote that I thought was really interesting, because there still is the idea that somehow if a woman becomes empowered, that a man isn't allowed to be a man anymore. And
right.
Rick Hume, who is the senior political analyst on Fox News, he made a comment. He said, men today have learned the lesson the hard way that if you act like a kind of old-fashioned guy's guy, you're in constant danger of slipping out and saying something that's going to get you in trouble and make you look like a sexist or make you seem thuggish or whatever. And I think that was really hysterical, because the only thing that's going to get you labeled a sexist is if you are one. Yeah, I'm talking about you, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, who at a very important Democratic event referred to Senator Kirsten Gillibrand as the Senate's hottest member. Yeah, I'm talking about you, former Senator Arlen Specter, who told Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann to act like a lady. What does that mean? Sit down and shut up?
Right,
this goes in. This goes in both parties, but I think, we really have to understand that just because a woman is getting a seat at the table, you are then moving to a place of 100% productivity where you're allowing some different ideas to be put forth, and that's going to be good for the economy, not bad for it. I also wanted to mention to you, I was doing a lot of research about, how are men treated today, or what does it mean to be a man today? And there was a gentleman by the name of Dale Thomas Vaughan who wrote an article, 40 Years of Post-Violence Men. And what he meant was that now it's been 40 years since the draft, and that only 0.5% of men are actually in the military, so that this is not something that would automatically be a part of your life to be conscripted into the military. And that, you know, there were a growing different concerns. We don't have vision quests. You know, it's like we're not, like, what does it mean to grow to manhood? How do you assert yourself? And I think we have to also ask ourselves, what are the current stereotypes? Why do we assume that a guy wants to, work 80 hours a week supporting a wife and kids and getting a heart attack at 55?
Yeah, well, I'm glad I missed that.
In an environment of interdependence where there is more shared responsibility and where he has, friendships and all of the. I mean, is that better for him, too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I like what Marianne Schnall wrote in HuffingtonPost.com about this cover story. She said, having more women in leadership positions should not be framed as a woman's issue, but as a matter of diversity and the need to have a more reflective and effective democracy. And I'm dead on with her on that one. I think it makes a whole heck of a lot of sense where we're all, you know, the old, the rising tide raises all boats. And, you know, that's not all boats have risen with that same tide. But I do think that there's a lot of truisms in what she says, that we will be better off by having a more diverse look at things, different ways of looking at things, different opinions about things that I think generally will lead us to better outcomes.
Well, surely, you know, women, traditionally, we have, through, you know, by force, by necessity, have had to find different ways to solve the same problems. And so wouldn't it be beneficial to have a woman at the table, because she's going to bring a very different perspective than a man will? It's not about better. It's just different. And when you put your heads together, you might come up with better solutions. You know, and we are seeing some evidence of that in Congress. Unfortunately, they get drowned out by the party groupthink.
Yeah, but I think if people, like, listening to our conversation, we're just two people having a conversation and we just happen to be on the radio. But I think if most people would strip away the predispositions that they have, or the preconceived notions that they have, or the designations that have been, you know, bored into their brains, or the affiliations that they have with a certain group or a political party, I think most people would have this kind of a conversation, not having a conversation based upon what they were told to think, or what is something that, you know, they don't necessarily believe, but if you say it enough, sooner or later it becomes their truism.
Well, I think that's very important. And I have to admit, you know, it is kind of upsetting to me if someone thinks I'm just here to shill for Hillary Clinton, because, you know, maybe it's better not to even mention her name then. Maybe it's better that I just say women in general, or I talk about Susana Martinez or you know, Nikki Haley or whoever, because I'm always trying to make the point with you when it comes to talking about women having a seat at the table, that it is something that benefits all of us. And if someone has a predisposition to be so negative about a particular name that it shuts them down to hearing the whole message, then that's counterproductive. And, you know,
I certainly
don't want that.
I don't think you should walk on that. I think it's, you know, it's your truism. It's your belief. It's what you wrote about in your book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin. And I think people have to come more to your understanding of what she went through than for you to understand what they're going through. So I would stick to your guns on this one, Anita. I got to take a break. Thanks for joining us on the program. Always a pleasure. We'll do it again. Keep doing what you're doing. AnitaFinley.com is her website.
That's pleasure, Jerry. Thank you so much.
We'll do it again. Stick with us. We'll wrap it up when we get back.
Jerry Doyle Show.